Welcome to Insider Profile. I'm your host, Paul Schindler. Insider Profile is brought to you by CMPNet, the technology network. The latest news and features about computers, computing, the internet, and high-tech finance. Find it at www.cmpnet.com.
I don't want people coming with non-graphical browsers to my site. They can go somewhere else. They're certainly welcome. There's a million other websites, but if they want to come to my website, it's a personal visual experience.
Notorious web designer David Siegel is the author of the best-selling book, Creating Killer Websites. Siegel revolutionized web design by introducing the one-pixel GIF, a spacer tool that gave designers more control over the layout of their pages. NetInsider's Dave Sims asked Siegel why it was important for him to take control of the web interface.
You've done a lot single-handedly to get around the limitations of the web interface from a designer's point of view. Why is that important to a designer? Why did you seek out to do that?
In my world, the designer drives the train. The designer presents the content the way he or she thinks it should be presented. And it's sort of a little bit of a dictatorial attitude, but it's very important to me that the context takes at least the same role, the same importance as the content. After all, if people don't enjoy reading, they won't read. And so it doesn't matter how great the writing is if the typography makes it hard to read.
Mm-hmm.
So I stood up for, I tried to figure out how to do good typography with the tools I was given with the early one, with the 1.0 browsers, and I couldn't do it. And I found it was very frustrating. I was actually making huge pages out of GIF images just to do the kind of typography I wanted to do. And then I developed some new tricks along with when the new browsers came out, new being the 1.1 browsers. I was able to do a lot more interesting things, basically by getting around what HTML was designed to do.
Which was just to present information at different levels?
HTML is strictly a markup language meant to denote various structural aspects of a web page. And I used it, or you could say bastardized it or misused it, to denote presentational aspects of the web page, how I wanted it to look and lay out. And that was kind of a no-no at the time, theoretically. But soon after that, the Netscape website started using these kind of techniques, and it grew and grew, and lots of people followed suit.
The one pixel GIF that you created was controversial, wasn't it?
Well, it was among a small number of people who thought that I was messing around with the markup, and the answer was yes, I'm definitely messing around with the markup until I can get better tools to do layout. And fortunately, new tools in new browsers are on the horizon, and we can leave that those old hacks behind and get into better structured design and good presentation.
Yeah, you've written that there's promise on the horizon, a way that the purists can have their code, but that designers can have more control over their presentation. And
yeah.
You think this is sort of opening up a new opportunity in terms of the designer's control of the interface?
It is, and it's going to be tricky. It's going to be hard. It's certainly right now impossible because the Netscape 4.0 browsers, from a press release point of view, supports style sheets, but in fact, from an actual implementation point of view, is a disaster.
How's that? It slows it down? Or?
No. You can quote me on this. The Netscape 4.0 browser does not do style sheets. It doesn't. Whatever it does with style sheets is not to spec, and it's buggy code that doesn't work and that everybody knows is not something to build on. So if you're building a site for people with Netscape or IE3, you can't use style sheets. Basically, that's out. IE4 does an okay job, and we have to give them a lot of credit for doing a much better implementation than Netscape's, but still there are problems with the IE4. So we're really looking to the 5.0 browsers to give us style sheets that will let us separate style from content. By the way, it's not that important in certain contexts. If you're running an MTV site, no one cares how your documents are structured.
Hmm.
They want to have a good time at that site. So it really depends on the context, on who you're presenting it to, how they like to consume either their information or their entertainment. If it's entertainment, structure isn't as important.
And you said that you don't even put alt tags on your pages because that's not how you intend for them to be viewed. Is that right?
On my personal site, I don't have alt tags. Mm-hmm. I don't want people coming with non-graphical browsers to my site. If they don't, if they want to, they can go somewhere else. They're certainly welcome. There's a million other websites, but if they want to come to my website, it's a personal visual experience. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, when I do sites for clients, we use alt tags because that's if that's part of the intended audience, then we certainly provide for them.
Is your background in typography or graphic design? You mentioned that you came into it through typography, and I believe you invented the Tecton typeface?
Yeah, I was the designer of Tecton, so I came through typography and type design.
Mm-hmm.
I was a type designer for many years.
For computer typefaces?
Or yeah, digital type, yeah. I've licensed fonts to Adobe and Hewlett-Packard and so forth.
And you came into the web that way?
That market fell apart. The font market fell completely apart a few years ago, and that's when good type designers were forced onto the web.
Hmm.
The good news about that was that type design is a very visual, very aesthetic endeavor, but it's very technical. So those of us who got onto the web early were able to do remarkable things quickly because we were used to solving technical problems cleverly to achieve visual results.
In working with the web interface, what's been the biggest limitation you find to this sort of 2D limited frame reference that people are looking at this entire universe on?
Well, I'm not a big 3D person. I don't have to have rotating lozenges or fly-throughs of data, or I don't have to read my New York Times, as an image map on the side of the Grand Canyon. I'm really interested in good flat typography, great colors, composition, balance, white space, those kinds of things, not the sort of kitchen sink rainbow design you see on a lot of websites.
Mm-hmm.
So part of, I guess one of the biggest things that I've pounded my shoe on the table for, and I have to say that I've been part of the HTML committee with the W3C that defines HTML for 2 years now. What I've really stood up for is absolute positioning.
Mm-hmm.
So that we can really, pixel by pixel, know where we're moving things and having relationships between visual objects. And if possible, knowing what viewing situations people have so we can create different viewing environments for different viewing presentations for different environments. That would be cool. I would love to have a different style sheet for people with big monitors, for example, or people with different numbers of colors, people with a web TV, or people who see it a website, say on a small appliance. That's the kind of control we need to be able to pixel level control is what designers need to do great typography.
And a protocol control for absolute positioning, if implemented through a sophisticated browser, let's cross our fingers and hope 5.0, means the designer has absolute control over the way the page looks.
Yeah, we'll have real layers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we'll be able to say this is behind that and that is behind this. This is all something that was figured out, many, many years ago. And in the computer world, PostScript has been doing it for over 10 years, layering things, accurate positioning of things behind and in front of each other, clipping regions, clipping paths. Those kinds of things. Plus, we're going to have lots of interesting dynamic content where things will move or pop up or drill through. And much of this will happen on the foundation of what's called the CSSP positioning standard that's coming out now. And that's where you get dynamic HTML. And dynamic HTML is very promising, but it isn't here yet.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, it's really a demo on the 4.0 browsers.
You a little worried about the possibility for too many bells and whistles with moving websites, different dynamic HTML?
Oh, it's going to be a visual disaster no matter what. It's already a visual disaster. The web is a visual wasteland. Come on. I mean, how many great websites are there? Let me tell you, it's pretty bleak.
You wrote in Web Review, the web is ruined, and I ruined it.
Well, many designers, and I'm not sure how this happens, and it happened to me too, somehow your design education gets set back about 5 years when you get onto the web. Your visual aesthetic sensibility gets knocked down, and I'm not sure why it happens, but it takes some real willpower to get over it and to make a visual experience. And if a visual experience is a good way to ruin the original intentions of the web, then I'm glad I did it, and there are plenty of people rumbling beyond, not only behind in my footsteps, but plenty of people who've already passed me up and are doing amazing things that I wouldn't have thought of.
You've been listening to Insider Profile. Insider Profile is brought to you by CMPNet, the technology network. The latest news and features about computers, computing, the internet, and high-tech finance. Find it at www.cmpnet.com. I'm your host, Paul Schindler. We'll be back next week with another Insider Profile.